He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys. Robin is apparently
MIA.
Or failing which? On assignment. Robin's on assignment.
He's on assignment.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Which leaves us, I don't know what we're going to do because he usually talks, but right. We'll.
He drives the conversation.
He
sure.
Does indeed. Well, but we will manage.
We'll survive.
All right. Survive the drive.
Survive the drive, by the way.
Get in touch, right.
Get in touch.
Is it survivethedrive.org?
Survivethedrive.org.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Bob Green.
Yep.
So we can talk about safety. I mean,
we can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want.
All right.
That's great. People know that. Some people know I drive quite a bit, and I drive quite a bit back and forth to the city. And I drove again down to the city yesterday, and it always surprised me. Go ahead. You're looking at me.
I'm looking at you because last week. In this screen world that we live in, I have never seen – I finally turned to Marshall and I said, they don't teach car lengths anymore, do they? And he said, no. He said, as a matter of fact, they don't teach driving anymore. I mean, I'm sure we were being facetious, but driver's ed. But I have never seen such irresponsible density. That's all I can say. It's like people cannot be that thick and not understand how their movements impact others.
People are oblivious. I think it's just they're oblivious. And it's not a generational thing because
I've seen some older guys who are just reading, watching their videos as they're driving and looking down. You see what, and then suddenly getting up and jerking their car. Unfortunately, all of the cars that were jerking into the death seat, also known as the passenger seat, this particular trip. So I have, it was pretty stressful. And it has nothing to do with lane control. It's got to do with other people.
Yeah, well, you have to deal with people. And traffic, I mean, I drove down yesterday, and it's really interesting if you go down Route 22, 684, and the weekend traffic and the weekday traffic, totally different breed of people.
Yep.
And it's not good or bad, or it's just very different. And the traffic patterns are different. Traffic jams are in different places. Generally, people on weekends, on Sundays particularly, even people stressing to get back to the city, are more predictable and less erratic drivers than I would say, I call them commuters and people that you find on the road during the week.
But I also want to say something that was a shock to me X number of years ago, but I think it's still very much the case. I had a friend who lived near Golden's Bridge, and which is exit 6A on 684. And he knew someone who basically never went to the city. Just didn't, they proximate, an hour away. But a lot of people just go from exit, when I say exit to exit, they just, they live up there and they stay up there or in that area. And you do encounter a fair number of them on the roads that one tends to assume they're heading into the city. But they're not. They're not. They're just using those as their highway, their local highways and byways.
Right. There's still plenty of people going in and out of the city. Or just, there's the other people who never leave the city. And, we talk about people weaving through traffic left and right. I have to say, and I'm not condoning this, I have some kind of admiration for the crazy people who manage to go in and out of traffic lanes without ever getting into trouble. And that those are the people you find in the city. On the other hand, when you once in a while you see a taxi driver out in the country, one of the New York City, either Uber drivers or yellow cabs, they're totally at a loss when they're on the highway. I mean, it's just funny.
But you're talking about difference. Anyway. There's a huge difference also. Let me just hopefully we agree between city driving and driving outside the city. Is it?
Yes, I mean I still think you. The skills and the way you drive should be, the same the same quote unquote rules apply to some extent.
I mean, yeah, but pulling out in front of a bus or a taxi or three double parked, out into the road UPS trucks and trying to squeeze through an opening should be, in my view, purely different than your perception of someone who does that same maneuver when there's no room between two cars on 684 going south. Sorry. Well, or the sawmill.
Yeah. The thing is, in traffic, let's say in the city, you're, obviously traffic is a lot more dense, but also traffic is moving at a lot slower
pace.
Slower speed. So, you can and people will pull in front of you and change lanes. And some of that is inevitable. But the same rules apply. I mean, you still have to keep your eyes peeled and looking ahead. I'm just, you know, thinking now when you drive up and down Manhattan on one-way streets, for instance, where you have cars parked on both sides of the streets, and you have doors that can open at any second.
And mirrors.
And I mean, you just have to be...
awake. No, it's not awake. You have to actually look outside.
Well, and there's an extra sense in your driving if you're keeping an extreme left or an extreme right lane in a one-way street in the city, you are...
going to get stopped.
You're going to get stopped because somebody is going to stop double lane.
Yep. Double park.
Double park somewhere. Yep. And it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And again, it's an acquired skill. I mean, it takes practice.
It is an acquired skill just as other European cities merging into, but that's still different. Anyway, what did you discover so that we can...
Actually, nothing that I didn't already know. I mean... I guess one of the safety things I come back to is if you're going to travel to a place you're not – an unknown place or a destination like somewhere in the city or an airport where traffic conditions may change and there are several – multiple options to get there, use a navigation system and put in your destination and then follow what the navigation tells you. And actually don't second guess it. And there's nothing worse. I ride with people who try to, if I'm using Google Maps, they'll use Waze or they'll use Apple Maps. And then they try to tell you which way to go and second guess what your navigation system is saying and you're following. And I guess my point is don't hesitate. Pick a route or let it be picked for you and then just follow it. And if things change, it will tell you to change and just follow that. And people who tell you that, oh, I know the city and I've done this road a million times before and this is the faster route, it's a lot of baloney usually because traffic conditions change constantly. And there's nothing I find more troubling and more dangerous than hesitating in traffic. And I find myself guilty of that too. I will second guess what my navigation is telling me, or I'll run into traffic and wonder, is there a better route? And then you start looking at your navigation, you try to reprogram it, or whatever you do, you're getting your eyes off the road, and that's when you incur risks.
And I'm still trying to find out, there was an accident on Tuesday, I don't know why it's called an accident, that involved an
ambulance. As Bob would say, there is no accident.
I was just thinking of that. There was a crash.
And he's right, by the way.
That involved... a dump truck, two squad cars, a fire engine, I think paramedics or something, and obviously something plowed into a crash scene, but it ended up shutting down a major thoroughfare in New Jersey for a while. So actually, do understand that conditions can change
dramatically.
In a very short yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, we can be doom and gloom.
No, it's just be aware. And I would just say this as an absolute civilian: why don't you try looking at the road? But that's just me. That's just me because I find people, reprogramming or doing things, and I will look up as I'm about to be crushed in the death seat, and the person is not. Appears, when somebody does something and then they're sorry, you can see from the body language. Well, most of the time, these guys are so, or women, are so collective, oblivious your word. Like, hello, you know, hey, I almost died. Thanks.
I would Public roads. On the other hand, I mean, it's summertime, and I'm always, you know, I love driving. I love traveling. This is a time of year when you see a lot of RVs on the road, all sorts of RVs. And it's a time of year when people get a chance to take road trips. And
they should have fun.
And it is fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Really should. So
and
I'm not going to over-yent.
No, but you know, then you start thinking. You know, I start thinking, what kind of vehicle would you want to use for that? And I was lucky enough, 7 or 8 years ago, I actually, for work, quote unquote work, I traveled quite a bit for 2 or 3 months during the summer in a 40-foot RV, and it was great. I keep saying it was the best summer in my life, and it was fun. You look at the road from a different angle. You're moving at a much slower pace. And you get a chance to kind of
appreciate where you are.
It was a big vehicle, you know, getting 6 miles per gallon or something like that. So it's kind of ridiculous when you think of it. And there are other ways to go about. And you know, one of the vehicles I keep thinking about that I would like to have in my next life is a Mercedes Sprinter, totally decked out, that can be used both for work and you know, fun. I mean, you can convert those vans, high top vans, and actually they have conversion kits where you can actually put the whole RV and bathroom kit that can be slid in and out, and so you can use a vehicle for a bunch of different things. Anyway, that's just,
well, that's pretty. You know, that, yeah, that you have to have a certain sort of.
Yeah, and when, you know, we're always thinking about our next vehicles and where the car market is going, and what do we want to drive.
Are there hybrid RVs yet?
That's a good question. But speaking of hybrids and electric vehicles, I was looking at car sales for the month of July. And then I looked at, and I'm going from one topic to another here.
You're allowed.
I'm allowed? Okay, good. Nobody, Robin's not here to take control.
No one heard.
Electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles remain a very, very small portion of overall sales. So as far as recreation vehicles, I am not aware of any at this point. But what I do know is you do have solar panels on a lot of recreational vehicles. But that's another thing.
I'm just trying to figure out how to, in terms of conscientiousness, whether if you take your RV out, are you is there any eco-friendly?
Well,
quote,
eco part, and I'll get back to car sales and electric vehicles afterwards. But back to RVs now. More and more RVs have solar panel kits, so you can run a lot of the electric features of your RV, lights. You know, refrigerator, air conditioning is a little tougher because you need a lot of power. But you can use solar panels for a lot of your electric needs, and that replaces either totally or in part generators that typically you find in RVs that not only, you know, they're noisy, they burn gas, they burn diesel, they smell, they're expensive to maintain.
Yeah, okay.
Solar panels on RVs.
It's a place to start. All right, back to car sales, please.
Car sales. Electric car sales and hybrid car sales are still only 2% of the market. I was looking at that and looking at a website this morning that just tracks all of electric vehicle car sales. Tesla is still the number one selling electric vehicle.
Wait. So hybrids are 2%, or electrics and hybrids are
2%? Well, they you have to read through the stats on this particular site because they cover both electric and hybrid vehicles.
Okay.
And I was tracking down the purely electrics but also as far as totals, the hybrids and electrics. There are not a lot of hybrid vehicles being sold these days.
All right, so we'll take out hybrids for one sec, back that number out. What would you say is the percentage of EVs, electrics?
Well, EVs, including hybrids, you know, so partially electric only, is only 2% of the total car sales.
So 2%, including 2%. Hybrids?
Yes.
All right, so that means just and the reason to pay attention to this is because it's there's a, you know, some heavy lifting to be done, obviously.
But
that leaves 98%.
That leaves 98%. But so if you look at electric and hybrid vehicle sales in the U.S. in 2019 versus 2018, they're pretty stable. Actually, there are less electric and hybrid vehicles being sold in 2019 than there were in 2018, but only marginally so. But you would expect an upward trend, and that right now that trend is flat, if not decreasing slightly.
All right. Now, I just want to throw this.
Okay, go ahead.
Often there is a fairly sizable disconnect between what's being talked about in the media and what people are actually doing.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to ascertain is whether this is part of that massive disc. It's like, and most people go out and buy a or except in certain areas. So tell me a little bit about that in terms of percentage. I'm looking for, you know, is little or older, is little Joe or older Joe going to go out and buy?
People who buy electric vehicles are buying Tesla Model 3s. I mean,
That's it,
that,
pretty much.
Well,
I mean, I understand that that's a generalization.
But if you look at sales in July, Tesla sold 13,000 Model 3s. They only sold 1,200 of their SUVs and about 1,000 of the Model S, which is an aging vehicle. But it's still, you know, they've only sold 8,000 Model S's this year versus 81,000 Model 3s. So definitely people are buying Model 3s.
But wasn't the idea to make the Model 3 more accessible?
And it is, absolutely, yes.
And how is that percentage-wise of all the cars sold or leased?
Put this in perspective. Chevy has a Chevy Bolt, and GM certainly, you know, Chevy dealers are, you know, all over the country. So there's definitely no problem in the distribution of the Chevrolet, the Chevy Bolt. They still only sold about 1,000 last month and a total of 9,000 for the first part of the year.
And that 81,000 for July was delivered?
So Tesla sold 81,000 Model 3s this year, and Chevy sold 9,000 Bolts. Yeah, for this year.
All right, and do we know how many they sold last month?
13,000 3s versus 1,000 Bolts, 1,000 Nissan Leafs. Nobody even talks about them anymore. You know, I was lucky enough about a week ago to test a new Hyundai Kona. There are still only just a little over 500 that have been sold this year in the country, which is a ridiculously low amount, and only 150 last year. And there's a lot of hype around that vehicle, and it is a great vehicle, but it is just not selling, probably because the supply is not there yet. But so there is a certain disconnect between the hype, definitely, and the cars and the periodicals.
And I mean that the purpose of the whole thing is to sell cars to dealers and people who trying to create a demand, trying to create a buzz.
To go on a side note, that the person I know who was from this area who bought a Kona just a few weeks ago. Told me then, so this was about a week or two ago, that the dealership had absolutely zero experience in selling the car. Like they could not, you know, this person was on his own.
So basically, you got to go in and ask for.
And he said, you know, the federal tax incentive is pretty straightforward. You put it on your 1040, and that's pretty much it. But like Connecticut taxes, you have to get all sorts of forms. That he had to, you know, find out more about because the dealership was not very helpful in that.
And was this to even register the car or just to purchase it? Or
I think it was not really to register it, but to get all the paperwork for the tax incentives. So, but again, if Hyundai only sold 150 cars last month, you know, in the entire country, obviously any one of the dealers really doesn't have a lot of experience.
So quick question. How many, just do you have any clue how many Hyundais period were sold in that same time frame?
Hyundai is doing really well. Actually, right. One of the brands that manufacturers that sold that actually increased their sales last month in July.
And do you have any idea how many? Just to give a sense of.
I jotted some numbers down, but their sales are up about 6% last month, and primarily because they have a bunch of new models. They have the new Palisade, they have the new Santa Fe, they have the new Kona. Right, but also is a non-electric car. So
okay, right. But I'm just saying, if you're going to say 150 actual Konas.
Electric Konas.
150 actual electric Konas. Uh-huh. And then their sales are up 6%. I'm just wondering, 150 against what? How many cars do they sell in, 30,000, 12,000, 500? I just have no sense of...
Probably, I'm looking at... probably over 100,000.
So 100,000 gets...
It's the one figure I don't have, actually. Okay. We're talking about 100,000 vehicles or so.
So you're basically talking about 1% of 100,000 or so, give or take. So 99%.
No, not 1%, 0.1%. Okay. 150 versus 100,000. What is it? It's less than 1%.
Okay.
Way less.
Right? You're absolutely right. Less than 1%. That's really... For all that you hear about it, it's when you go into the dealership, what do you do?
Well, you're pretty much on your own. You have to want the car and hope that they can get it.
Okay, but then that presumes a certain amount of working knowledge, which makes it great that we do this show. But if I had a concern, it would be that working knowledge or that interest isn't necessarily. Automatic. You've got to A, need a car, and then B, want to find out about it to C, get it. Yes? No?
Yes. I still think you're making a statement. Let's not fool ourselves. If you're driving an electric car these days, and I go back to the Toyota Prius of 10, 15 years ago, there were a bunch of hybrids on the market, and the Toyota Prius outsold every other hybrid car, probably all of them put together. And I think the reason was very simple, in my mind anyway, is that the Prius made a statement. If you drove a Prius, it was a Prius, and everybody knew it was a hybrid car. If you drive a Tesla today, everybody knows it's an electric car. If you drive a Hyundai Kona, You have to read the badge to know that that Kona is electric.
You're...
But going back to numbers, even though the market for electric and hybrid vehicles is pretty flat in the U.S., worldwide the number of hybrid and electric vehicles has doubled in 2019 versus 2018. So... even though we're not selling more or buying more electric vehicles, the rest of the world is. And obviously you find that I think Europe is doing pretty well in electric vehicle sales. And we all know that there are massive tax incentives there. But then there's the whole Chinese market. And that's where most electric vehicles are being sold by Chinese manufacturers, by the way. And I can't even name them.
And do you have any idea of what price?
No. Short answer.
Yeah.
No.
So I think there's absolutely something that we should figure out. That would be interesting to know, just for people's brains to have some food to.
And the number I don't have either is I don't know what the production of Tesla 3s, for instance, is worldwide. The share of cars is on the U.S. market, Chinese market, European market. And that'd be another interesting figure, by the way.
All right. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys. Baby, you can drive my-